Broadcasting from the secret military base in Summit Township. This is On the Docket with Connor Dockery.
Who do you think you are?
Weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Presented by Knutson's Sporting Goods, your outdoor convenience store. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. Bud Light, Bella Notte Ristorante, and Tri-County Water. That's good water.
Hello, Jackson. It is On the Docket, broadcasting from the downtown studio in a cloudy Jackson, Michigan today. And cloudy, it's almost perfect in the sense of the imagery that needs to be used for the Detroit Tigers season because, season very cloudy. Right now, cloudy with a chance of, missing the playoffs. You heard that right. Do I have to talk about the Tigers? I guess I have to. I really don't want to. But so the Tigers just can't win. They can't win a game. They went from the Detroit Tigers to like the Colorado Rockies overnight. And it's just unfathomable, inconceivable. So the Tigers, of course, going into the series against the Guardians, with the division at hand, this series is basically deciding the division, which the Tigers had locked up for the entire season. As a matter of fact, they are now on pace to have the largest blown division lead in MLB history, surpassing the, in the 70s, I believe, there was a division the Yankees were able to come back and win a division, being back 14 games. The Tigers in July had a 15.5 game lead over Cleveland for the division. And Cleveland came all the way back. I mean, obviously, you got to give Cleveland credit for not giving up and getting hot at the right time. But the Tigers, I mean, they've not been holding up their end of the bargain. As a matter of fact, it's easy to be mad at Cleveland. You know, the Tigers had the season they had and Cleveland gets to just steal the division. No. You got to be mad at the Tigers for this completely inexcusable play. So again, coming into this series, they already got swept by Cleveland last week. And the Tigers had just a one game lead for the division. And Cleveland, if they win just a single game in this series, they clinch the tiebreaker. So that means the Tigers, if they want to win the American League Central Division, they have to be at least one win better than Cleveland. Because if they tie, it goes to Cleveland because Cleveland has the tiebreaker. And, of course, that was blown in the first game with the Tigers losing 5-2, even with Tarek Skubal pitching. And then last night, again, was worried with Jack Flaherty on the mound. And I mean, it wasn't the worst Jack Flaherty start, but this just doesn't matter because the bats are not coming through. They strike out 19 times in the first game of the series. They're not going to win many games at all, where 19 of the possible 27 outs in the game come by way of the strikeout. And then last night, it's the same case. They just can't. They can't score runs right now. The Tigers actually led early, just like in the first game. These games are basically the same thing. The Tigers led early. Parker Meadows, sack fly, top of the third, it was 1-0. Then just like that, bottom of the third inning. 2-run home run, giving Cleveland the lead, and they wouldn't give it back. And the Tigers, it was another one of those games that, you know, they did get 6 hits, which is, you know, not great, but also not horrible. It was just one of those where it's like they're only getting like, oh, a base runner on, oh, out, oh, inning over. Oh, another base runner on, oh, inning's over. You can't get into a rhythm when you're just getting one base runner on and you never do anything with said base runners. You got to get multiple base runners on. You have to string together the hits. And it's just everything is going wrong for this Tigers team at the worst possible time. So they've now lost what? After those two back-to-back great Yankees wins, they lost the last game of the series, lost the first two games of the Marlins series, won on September 14th. We're almost 2 full weeks since our last Detroit Tigers win. This isn't football where you play one game a week. This is baseball where you play basically every single day. The Tigers have lost 11 of their last 12 games. How can you get this cold right now? And these are not... I mean, obviously the Cleveland series is big, but... I mean, you lose a series to the Marlins? You get swept by the Braves? Completely inexcusable. And then, not to mention, before that Yankee series, losing a series to the White Sox, that's inexcusable. Getting swept before that by the A's, that's inexcusable. There was a bad series a little bit before that against the Twins that you drop, and just inexcusable play by this Detroit Tigers team. And as I mentioned, as of September 11th, they had a 99.6% chance to make the playoffs. No, I'm sorry. To win the division, they had a 99.9% chance to make the playoffs and a 99.6% chance to win the division. Again, this is as of September 11th. This is fresh off of the Tigers' back-to-back dominating games against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And we really are living in that 0.4% timeline. Fast forward to today. So again, September 11th, 99.6% chance to win the division. Fast forward to today, 17% chance to win the division. They went from... If we want to look at it the other way, they went from a 0.4% chance of blowing the division to now an 83% chance of blowing the division. I mean, they've already blown the division. They lost the series. It's over. Cleveland now has a full game lead over the Tigers. And now in these last 4 games, the Tigers need to win 2 more games than Cleveland. So the Tigers... They have to go 4-0. They have to win out the rest of the regular season while hoping Cleveland only goes 2-2 in their last 4 games. Of course, tonight is a given. And then, of course, the Tigers wrap up the season against the Red Sox, who are fighting for their playoff spot. They have yet to clinch. And then the Rangers, that's who the Guardians play in their last 3 games of the regular season. So, and the Rangers just got eliminated. They're on a similar cold spell like the Tigers right now. So the Tigers have to go, let's look at the scenarios, 4-0 in this last game against Cleveland and the three games against Boston. Cleveland can only go 2-2, or the Tigers 3-1. Guardians can only go 1-3, or if they only win two of these last games, I mean, one of those wins has to be against Cleveland, and then Cleveland has to go winless. Those are the scenarios, and with how the Tigers have played and with how the Cleveland Guardians have played, odds are not looking good. So I've crunched the numbers as well. Great website, by the way, statmuse.com. It's basically like Google, but for like stats and stuff, all sports stats. You could Google pretty much anything there. Not an advertiser by any means, but just a nice little shout out to statmuse.com. So I looked at the numbers. So September 11th, since then, the Tigers have only won one baseball game in 13 tries. And in that stretch, the Tigers have not only been bottom two or three in hitting, but also basically like bottom two or three in pitching as well. So everything has gone wrong for the Tigers in this stretch and in all facets too. They're not hitting the ball. They're not getting on base. And of course, when they do get on base, they're not driving in runs. They're striking out at a high rate. And on the flip side with pitching, they're allowing hits at a very high rate. They're allowing walks at a very high rate. Home runs at a high rate, leading to an inflated ERA as a team. I mean, this obviously doesn't come to any surprise to anybody. I could just imagine you listening right now. Connor, you're telling me that the Tigers have been bad at both batting and pitching in a stretch where they only win one game in 12 tries, 13 tries? Really? How is that possible? And then meanwhile, Cleveland Guardians in the American League in that same stretch, they've been the best pitching team in the American League. Their hitting, meanwhile, I mean, it's been kind of middle of the pack. I would say probably 6 or 7 in the American League in that stretch. So while their hitting hasn't been dominant, it's where their pitching has been so dominant. And I've been saying this, stressing this all series, is these low-scoring games favor Cleveland, because as long as their hitting is passable, if their pitchers can keep the game, you know, the opponents to only, you know, one or two runs, they have a chance. And the Tigers have not been able to break through. And even if the Tigers happen to sneak into the postseason at this point, yes, I'm using the word sneak in, because that's what it feels like needs to happen now. It just feels like a miracle is needed just to make the playoffs. Division is almost out of the question. If this is happening to the Tigers right now, where the pitching staff, by and large, has been scarily inconsistent, and the bats can't come through with that big hit time and time again, especially against this Cleveland pitching staff, what do you think the Tigers are going to face in the playoffs? If you can't win these critical series down the stretch against non-playoff teams, no less, much less Cleveland now is a team that you'll likely face in the playoffs at this point, you know, how do you think this team is going to fare in the playoffs? I got more on that in a minute, but I need 3 minutes to cool off. Forgive me. Broadcasting from the downtown studio, this is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
on the docket is brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Pelinote Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Polly's Country Market. Convenient locations in Jackson County. Lots of deals in store, like the buy five, save five promotions throughout the store. Any item that says mix and match. Don't forget their produce sale every week, Friday through Sunday. And you can sign up for My Market Rewards to save even more. Polly's Country Market. See all the deals online, country-markets.com. So the Tigers, of course, in a little bit of a pickle right now. And they're hanging by a thread, and they're being saved by an unlikely source. Never did I think the Tigers, especially this season, would be relying so heavily on the efforts of the Athletics, the A's. Because the A's, last night, as the Tigers are once again losing to the Guardians, the A's, 6-0. Beating the Houston Astros, winning again. And at this point, that's who the Tigers are competing with to try to make the playoffs. So, of course, Tigers one game out of the division. I mentioned the Tigers have to at this point win two more games than the Guardians in these last four games if they want to try to take the division back. But standings right now, Yankees clinched. They've actually taken the number one record in the American League East. That was another division that, you thought the Yankees early on looked like they were running away with it. The Blue Jays came back and they had a mid-season push, especially post-All-Star break. They kind of took over that division. Never really as safe as the Tigers were, of course, with the AL Central, but it looked like the Blue Jays would run away with that division to end the season. But the Yankees have actually tied the Blue Jays. And with the tiebreaker, the Yankees, technically the number one team in that division. As a result, the Yankees, number one seed in the American League, behind them the Mariners, who just clinched the division, the American League West. First time, by the way, since 2001 that the Seattle Mariners have won a division, which, again, good to see for them. I mean, not a whole lot of success in the last 20-plus years for the Seattle Mariners, but no, they've looked really good this season. Of course, comes on the back of Cal Raleigh, a player who pretty much came out of nowhere and exploded this season. Suddenly, he's an MVP-caliber guy. Now, if I were to give out my pick for American League MVP, I'm probably giving it to Aaron Judge. I mean, he's had just such an insane season. Cal Raleigh, however, also hit his 60th home run last night. Seventh player in MLB history to hit 60 home runs in a season, which is really impressive. And again, just as a catcher as well. I mean, catchers usually don't make the best hitter in the batting lineup. Because, I mean, catchers are obviously mostly important on the defensive side of things, the connection with the pitcher, and be able to provide a rock-solid presence behind the dish. But to be just such an offensive force, been really fun to watch with Cal Raleigh this season. Anyways, getting off topic. So, number one seed right now in the American League, the Yankees, then the Mariners, and then the Guardians. Since they now control the American League Central, the Tigers blew it. And then the wild cards, the Blue Jays now in the top wild card spot, followed by the Red Sox. And keep in mind, the Blue Jays have already clinched a playoff spot, so they are safe. It's just a matter of the division at this point. Now, the only three teams that have not clinched a playoff spot officially, Cleveland. So there is still a chance that Cleveland even missed the playoffs, but I mean, they'll probably make it in at this point, even if the Tigers somehow wrestle the division back in these last four games. They'll be safe. They've been way too hot. Meanwhile, the Red Sox and Tigers fighting for the last two wild card spots. The Red Sox are safe by three games. The Tigers safe by just one game. And the only team out of the playoffs in the American League that is not yet eliminated is the Houston Astros, which they're cold right now. Tigers have lost eight in a row. Astros have lost five in a row. I mentioned they lost their last two games in this series against the A's of all teams. So thank God for the A's right now. I never thought in September we would be rooting for the A's to help out the Tigers. And even just in general, never thought it would come to the point with how the Tigers have had the division locked up all season long to be at a point where the Tigers, as Tigers fans, we have to root for other teams to lose just to make the playoffs. Not only just to win the division, just to make the playoffs. Because hypothetically, it's flipped. Let's say the Astros win those first two games against the A's. The Tigers are now out of the playoffs by a game, which is a really scary thought. Imagine if the Tigers right now were out of the playoffs by a game. I mean, it'd be like, shoot, this is over. Put a fork in it. At least as of right now, it's going to be pretty difficult to try to win two more games than the Guardians to finish the season now. Now that they've lost this series, I mean, series isn't even done. The Tigers could win this last game. They could get swept. Who knows? But with this series, I say that, I mean, the Guardians pretty much have the division now. Stole the division away from the Tigers. Not only because of their brilliant play in the last month, but because the Tigers are just, they picked the worst time possible. And I never thought that they would go even colder than they did in that July stretch that they had. I thought that was it. I thought that was one and done. And the Tigers really didn't fully regain their footing that they had in the first half of the season after that, but it was a lot more passable than it is now. And the Astros as well, they wrap up their season against the Angels, who are also a very cold team right now. So the Tigers need to execute. And of course, the big series, they already blew this big series, let's face it. But a big series for the Tigers to end the season against the Red Sox. Because keep in mind, I just mentioned the Red Sox have not yet clinched their playoff spot. Again, they are three games safe in, but this could be a big battle of positioning. Because as of right now, Yankees and Mariners get the first round bye. And in the wild card round, the Tigers have to play guess who? Ding, ding, ding. The Guardians. Do you feel comfortable in that series? I sure as heck don't. Meanwhile, it would be the Blue Jays and Red Sox facing each other. And regardless of what happens in that American League East division, it's going to be either the Yankees or the Blue Jays in that top wild card spot. That's pretty much basically going to be locked up at this point. So it's going to be between the Red Sox, Tigers and Astros for that second wild card spot, second and third wild card spot, really. Unless the Tigers somehow find a way to wrestle away the division from the Guardians, which is probably not going to happen at this point because the Tigers just keep shooting themselves in the foot. So if the Tigers are able to have some success in this last series against the Red Sox, they can flip-flop, and the Tigers, I feel a lot more comfortable taking on either the Yankees or the Blue Jays in a playoff series than the Guardians right now. As I mentioned, the Guardians, their pitching staff is elite. And if I were to pick one, hot hitting or hot pitching going into the playoffs, honestly, I'm taking hot pitching. Because if you can keep the opponents to two or less runs every single game, I mean, you have a chance, and Cleveland's bats have not been good at all this season. Again, they only have like two, three, four batters that are passable, at least. All it takes is just great pitching, and even the most mediocre offenses can excel in a situation like that. I'm trying to scroll back and see what the tiebreaker situation would be for the Red Sox and Tigers. Been a minute since these two teams have squared off. So, the Tigers, if they get swept in this last series, of course they have to rely on Houston being awful in their last four games for the Tigers to still make the playoffs. But the Tigers, way back in May, when the Tigers were a real baseball team, they swept the Red Sox in a home series. So this last series at Fenway, I mean, if the Tigers win a single game, they clinch the tiebreaker over the Red Sox. So if the Tigers and Red Sox tie in the wild card standings, the Tigers will get that higher spot. So that is definitely huge for the Tigers. So just mapping out the rest of the season right here. Best case scenario for the Tigers would be, of course, to win their last four games. And, you know, Cleveland only go 2-2 in their last four. And then the Tigers can get the division back. That's, of course, the best case scenario. But let's take the division out of the equation here. Because, I mean, again, I'll be shocked if the Tigers can somehow still pull off the American League Central. So the Tigers, let's say best case scenario, they win tonight, and the Red Sox lose tonight against the Blue Jays. Because keep in mind, the Blue Jays, there's a chance that they blow the American League East division that they've had under control for the last like 2 months. If that were to happen, the Tigers win tonight, the Blue Jays lose tonight, then the Red Sox would only lead the Tigers by one game. And then the Tigers at that point would have to take two of the three games against the Red Sox. And at that point, winning three of their last four, I'd say that should get them into the playoffs. And on top of that, get a little bit of a better wild card seed. Because then at that point, they'll take on either the Yankees or Blue Jays in the wild card round. They'll have to be on the road. And then beyond that, the winner of that series will take on the number one seed. The team who had the number one seed got the first round bye, which as of right now will be, again, either the Yankees or Blue Jays. I feel a lot more comfortable in that scenario than trying to go the Cleveland route, go to Cleveland again, and then try to go through them. And then at that point, Seattle Mariners. I mean, they they cooked the Tigers a few weeks ago at Comerica. And I think they actually won a series against the Tigers early in the season, if I'm not mistaken. So back in July, that was in the middle of the Tigers' cold stretch. They got swept by the Mariners at home. I'm trying to see earlier in the season what happened between those two teams. I mean, it's kind of disingenuous for me to try to use a comparison between the Tigers, what they did earlier in the season, what the Tigers are doing now, because, I mean, these feel like completely different teams. And that's true. These are basically completely different teams. So there you go. I'm trying to inject some sense of optimism, if you couldn't tell that that's what I'm trying to do. First pitch tonight, 6:40. The Tigers will have Troy Melton on the mound, which is actually good to see because it's been quite some time since he's started a game. Really since the trade deadline. I mean, he was used as like a spot starter. Looks like he got three starts earlier in the season, but since the trade deadline, the Tigers decided to go with other guys, which didn't work out. I mean, Paddock didn't work out. Charlie Morton really didn't work out. So a bullpen day likely today. Melton and then Parker Messick for the Guardians, who's only pitched in 6 games in his career this season. Couple rookies going out there. Please, Tigers, can the bats come through for a change? Put up more than a run against this Guardians team tonight. And if they win, then I'll feel a lot more comfortable going into this last 3-game series against the Red Sox. But as of right now, the division's gone. Got to try to hope for the playoffs now, which is a really sad state to be in given the lead that the Tigers had all season long. There's a little bit more of the pessimism that the first segment of today's show. That's what it was all about. That was the pessimistic segment. This, I was trying to go for more of an optimistic segment. Don't know if that worked out, but we'll see. And we're moving on to the National Football League on the other side as Week 4 gets underway tonight. This is On the Docket back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket is brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Bell & O.T. Ristorante, Bud Light, Tri-County Water, and Kettlebell Hotspot. Build raw functional strength and core stability with Kettlebell Hotspot, as well as enhancing your mobility, balance, and coordination. Join the team today. Kettlebell Hotspot in Spring Arbor. Kettlebell Hotspot, where your functional fitness begins. NFL Week 4 is tonight. We're going to run through all the matchups. So, Thursday night football, it is the Seahawks and the Cardinals, which the Seahawks, I mean, haven't had the greatest schedule, I should say. They lost to the 49ers, who are somehow 3-0 to start the year. And then they dominated the Steelers and Saints. So, again, not exactly the strongest strength of schedule. They're taking on the Cardinals, who are also 2-1 on the season. Pretty interesting NFC West matchup, as they've beaten the Saints and Panthers, also lost to the 49ers. So this could be a pretty good matchup. Both these teams losing to the Niners. I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks in this one. Just my gut feeling. Sam Darnold, I mean, of course, last year with the Vikings, you know, people, you know, making fun of him for how he finished the season and, you know, how the Vikings fell apart right at the end of the year. He has looked good with the Seahawks. Sam Darnold, the journeyman who could, after his start to his career was just miserable with the Jets. So there you go. Thursday night football against Seahawks Cardinals. I'm going to go with the Seahawks tonight. Sunday, the Lions and the Browns. Of course, that's the game that we're going to be paying attention to. Now, the Browns, they actually have a pretty good defense. Gone off to a really good defensive start, and they've actually stayed in games as a result of their defense. But they got lit up by the Ravens, 41-17. But otherwise, low-scoring games against the Bengals. And that was, of course, before Joe Burrow went down. So still the Joe Burrow Bengals at that time, able to limit them to just, what, 17 points? And then, of course, they beat the Packers. So, obviously, they got lit up against the Ravens. They held two pretty high-caliber offenses in the Bengals and the Packers to just 17 and 13 points each. So, Lions, if they execute offensively, should still be a pretty tough game for them on offense against a pretty decent Browns defense, but the Browns offense is miserable. So the Lions, based on how they looked, the type of stops they got against the Ravens, still think the Lions do pull this off, but never say never. I'm still comfortable with the Lions. They have 9.5-point favorites. I mean, I probably agree with that. I'm going to go with the over, if you ask me. So I'm going to take the Lions over 9.5. Don't take my betting advice, by the way. You're probably going to lose a lot of money. And you shouldn't be betting on sports anyways, let's be honest. International game, 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. Vikings and Steelers in Dublin. Steelers, it's kind of weird to put my finger on them early based on, you know, them with our old friend, our old nemesis, Aaron Rodgers. And then the Vikings off to a 2-1 start, going with Carson Wentz right now with the, of course, injured J.J. McCarthy. Wins against the Bears and Bengals. Loss against the Falcons. Yikes. There for the Vikings. Meanwhile, for the Steelers, beating the Jets and Patriots, lost to the Seahawks. So I'm going to take the Vikings in this matchup. Really don't like what I've seen from the Steelers so far. Again, they did have that exciting week one win against the Jets. Aaron Rodgers' revenge. And not like I've really liked what I've seen from the Vikings at this point, but I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one. As much as it hurts, Vikings probably going to win that one. Saints, Bills, not much to say. The Saints are just awful, and the Bills are, as of right now, my pick to win the AFC. That can, of course, change. I mean, the Ravens are still a threat. The Colts are off to an underrated start, but I don't really see them as a contender quite yet. Chargers 3-0, they're looking really good in their first three games, but I still have the Bills as the best team in the AFC. And then the Saints, they're going to be competing for worst team in football this year. So that should be a blowout. Titans, Texans, Titans have not looked good. 0-3 in the Cam Ward era. Really not a good football team. That's a rebuild right there. The Texans also 0-3. But the Texans, Rams, Buccaneers, and Jaguars. And the Jaguars, the Jags, they've actually been pretty underrated this year as well. But those are two really good teams. The Buccaneers off to a pretty, I mean, 3-0, but all on last-minute plays. Rams, I think, is a really underrated team. So those are three pretty tough losses for the Texans. Meanwhile, for the Titans, their first three games, Broncos, yuck. Rams, of course, it's a high-powered team, and the Colts as well. So that, I mean, still a pretty tough schedule for both these teams. My gut feeling says Texans, especially playing at home. Commanders and Falcons. I'm amazed the Commanders only have a 1.5-point lead, obviously probably with, you know, Jaden Daniels being out. I still like the Commanders in that matchup. Falcons are really not a good football team. Moving on, Eagles, Buccaneers. Eagles, a lot of media pundits' picks for best team in the NFC. Of course, I have some objections to that, but to that point, Eagles, still a really, really good football team. The defending Super Bowl champions against the Buccaneers. They've again had a wild start. They're still a little bit of a wild card team. It feels like they can beat anybody, but also lose to anybody any given week. But I'm going to go with the Eagles in this matchup, playing on the road. Garbage matchup, Panthers and Patriots. Yuck. I'm probably going to go. Who am I going to go with in this one? The Panthers and the Patriots. Panthers 1-2, Patriots 1-2 as well. Oof. This is like an oof matchup. Patriots losses to the Raiders and Steelers win against the Dolphins. I mean, that just says it right there. The Patriots, not a good football team. Panthers lost to Jaguars, Cardinals win against the Falcons. My gut feeling says, this is a hard one to pick. Two bad teams. They have the Patriots 5.5-point home favorites, which is kind of surprising. I'm going to go with Carolina in that one. Chargers, Giants, not much to say there. Giants are also in the running for worst team in football with the Saints. Chargers off to a great start, 3-0, trying to be a threat in the AFC and even win that division potentially. I'm going to go with the Chargers. Jaguars, 49ers. 49ers have kind of finagled their way to a 3-0 start. Jaguars, a little bit of an underrated start. Not really many people had them, you know, being that great of a team. I'm going to go with the 49ers at home. Feel a little bit more strong than the Jaguars at this point. And a chance that Brock Purdy comes back, which is good for my fantasy team. Colts-Rams. That's an interesting game. The Rams, of course, lost in a heartbreaking fashion against the Eagles. Had a chance to take down the defending Super Bowl champs. And then the Colts off to a little bit of a surprising 3-0 start to this point. I'm going to go with the Rams. The Rams look really good. The Rams, one of three teams in football that are top 10 in both offense and defense. So the Colts, I don't think they've really played a matchup of this caliber yet. I'm going to go with the Rams in this one at home. Bears, Raiders, two bad football teams. I'm actually going to go with probably the Bears. Bears get their first win in their last game. Starting to kind of put it together. Raiders' only win is against the Patriots, so that's not great. I mean, the Bears only win against the Cowboys. That's really not great either. My gut feeling says the Bears, again, just like the Vikings earlier, as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to go with the Bears in this one. Ravens, Chiefs. Even though the Ravens are 1-2, I've liked what I've seen from them more than the Chiefs. So I'm going to go with the Ravens in that road matchup at Arrowhead. Packers, Cowboys. Packers, this is the return of Micah Parsons. Packers are going to win this. They're going to bounce back. Cowboys, that's a bad football team. Monday Night Football, Jets, Dolphins. What a garbage Monday night matchup. Both teams 0-3. Good job scheduling, NFL. I don't know. Jets, Dolphins, couple bad teams. I'm going to say the Jets are slightly better. They're bad, but not as bad as the Dolphins. My gut feeling says the Jets. Yes, I'm going with Tyrod Taylor over Tua. Last matchup, Monday Night Football, Bengals-Broncos. Bengals without Joe Burrow, this is going to be a struggle for them. Put up only 10 points, got blown out, absolutely blown out against the Vikings. And the Broncos off to a weird start, 1-2. They had an inexcusable loss against the Colts on a penalty that, of course, led to the winning field goal and then beat the Titans in an unconvincing game, lost to the Chargers on a late drive. So based on what I've seen from the Bengals, I'm going to go with the Broncos in this matchup. So there's my week 4 rundown. But again, the important game, the Lions and the Browns. Lions should win that one. They should improve to 3-1 on the season, especially if the offense executes how it should. Got some NFL news, NHL news, NBA news. We've got news to wrap up the program. Broadcasting from the downtown studio in Jackson, Michigan, this is On the Docket, back in 3 minutes.
On the Docket with Connor Dockery, weekdays at noon.
On the Docket, brought to you by Knutson Sporting Goods, Kettlebell Hotspot, Bellinote Ristorante, Bud Light, and Tri-County Water. So got about 8 minutes here in the downtown studio here in Jackson for this Thursday. We got some NFL news. So, of course, the news in this past week, Giants off to an 0-3 start. They're benching Russell Wilson for the rest of the season. They name rookie quarterback Jackson Dart as the starter for the rest of the year. And Russell Wilson had some comments, had some things to say. Quote, "I am not done. I've got so much belief in myself, know what I'm capable of. I believe I was able to show it, especially on the road in Dallas and everything else. I know it can help this football team if that comes up." Yeah, it's a real big if, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, of course, dominant quarterback with the Seattle Seahawks, Super Bowl winner. Could have been a two-time Super Bowl winner, but of course he doesn't want to you probably don't want to bring up end zone interception to him anytime soon. But ahead of the 2022 season, traded to the Denver Broncos. Never forget the infamous Broncos country let's ride memes. And he was miserable with the Broncos. Team was awful under him. And they signed him to a huge mega deal, too, before he even played a single game with the Broncos. And it just did not work. They ended up trading him, getting rid of him. Played with the Steelers last year and then the Jets this year. The Jets. Wrong New York team. The Giants this year. So, sorry, I hate to say it, Russell Wilson, but you are done. You have not been a good NFL quarterback since your days with Seattle, which are long over. Tom Brady, of course, a little bit of a conflict of interest story happening as of late. Of course, he is a Fox Sports analyst, but he is also part owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And this, of course, is a conflict of interest because he has certain access to coaches and players that anybody else in any organization would not be allowed to access because being a media member. And then also being a part owner, he was seen in the Raiders coaching booth in their last game with a headset on. And that doesn't necessarily mean he was calling plays or communicating with the team by any means, but that is not against the rules as a owner. But of course, comes with the conflict of interest of his media persona being able to access again other players, other teams, coaches, and such that he otherwise wouldn't have access to. Talked about his concerns. He calls people paranoid for believing there's a conflict of interest. And keep in mind, this is Tom Brady. This is a guy that has had numerous controversies in his career, notably with officiating in his time with the New England Patriots. Great player. But I mean, it's hard to buy it when this guy says, you're just paranoid about this, which is just silly. NBA news. Some injury news. So, of course, Fred VanVleet of the Houston Rockets. He's been, a really good guy, really good player for his time with the Toronto Raptors. Playing a big role there. And then, of course, now with the Rockets kind of surprising everybody with a number 2 seed, I believe, 2 or 3 seed in the Western Conference in the playoffs. They, of course, were an early exit, but still, that's a young team on the rise, and Fred VanVleet a big part of it. But he suffers torn ACL in a preseason practice, and that's not even, I don't even think with the team. I think it was just with, you know, himself, because training camp is basically just now getting underway in the NBA. So he's going to basically miss the season. So it's a big loss for the Rockets, especially that's a team that is looked at as a contender in the Western Conference with their signing of Kevin Durant, their trade, rather, of Kevin Durant. As old as he is, that should be a big pickup for the Houston Rockets. Meanwhile, already injured from the playoffs, Jason Tatum. Apparently he's going to try to shoot for a return this season, which is crazy. He tore his Achilles, which is usually not even just a 12-month injury. That's like an 18-month injury. And, of course, he was seen walking even, I believe, with a boot, without a boot, at a Patriots training camp or something. But I mean, if Jason Tatum is able to somehow magically return, I doubt it. I don't think the Celtics are going to be a good team this season, but we'll see. We'll see if he comes back. Some tidbits for you. That'll do it for me on the docket from the downtown studio Friday tomorrow. Lots of good stuff. Goodbye, everybody.
If you missed today's installment of On the Docket, podcast it at foxsports1019.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to tune in live weekdays at noon on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.